الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين من تراب معدن الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. فليسن الرجال والإمام يكسر الصلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
For his holy brethren, let's recite the sacrament loudly.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Inshallah, each and every one of us becomes the true and close companion of our Imam. Please, let's recite the third one even louder.
اللهم صل على
عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم. May Allah accept the commemorations, the aza, the mourning, the tears, beating the chest, and all the efforts, the preparations of the meals, the setting, the session, and everything. Inshallah, Allah accepts for the 12th Imam. Tonight is the night of the 9th of Muharram. During these days since the arrival of the Imam on the 2nd of Muharram in Karbala, there were discussions, conversations, people leaving, people coming. Habib ibn Nadhir apparently is joining on the same year in Karbala, perhaps others as well. Different things have been happening. Battle is not imminent. It's not imminent yet. Until tomorrow, they received the orders from Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad to start the attack. And it is in the eve, close to, or in the afternoon, that they see the army of Umar ibn Sa'd moving towards them. Imam al-Husayn asks Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas to go and see what's happening. He went and saw that the army was approaching. He went to Imam al-Husayn and explained. And it is then that Imam al-Husayn told him to go and ask them for one more night. Husayn wants to pray. That's one more night with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are approaching Ashura. Tomorrow is an important day. Ashura is an important day. Hopefully we're able to benefit. These are the most important days of Muharram. We want to discuss tonight the Surah Ash-Shams, a small chapter of the Quran that helps us immensely in our preparation for the coming of our Imam. It gives us a foundation. It helps us be able to learn in few words. It's a little over half a page, if even that much. If you take out the signs for the ayat, the writing itself, the words themselves, may not be half a page. Very briefly, it delivers a very powerful message that provides us a guideline for our lives from the beginning to the end, at all levels, as individuals, in our families, on a social scale, very eloquent, concise way. So let's look at the chapter, we'll briefly go through it and see what we can draw from it while we're discussing it afterwards. Meaning, while we're looking at each verse, we'll talk about it briefly, and then come back and look at it holistically and see what we can draw from it. Say salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.
before I begin, I forgot to mention this one. Apparently, this chapter is a Mekki chapter as well. The importance of that is probably there's various areas of importance and various little points we can learn from that, important ones. One of them is that this chapter is revealed before the details of the ahkam are there, before the details of the teachings of the Prophet on a personal scale and on a social scale. A lot of it has not been revealed. In Mecca, we don't have hijab. The verses for hijab were not revealed in Mecca. They were revealed in Medina. Covering, clothing, dress code. Some of the rulings of the prayer were revealed in Medina. The banning of drinking was revealed in Medina. Riba was forbidden in Medina. These are only a few. So there's a lot of details of the ahkam that are not mentioned there. The message of the Prophet is being delivered for people to get an idea, look at the most important messages of Islam in a nutshell, to allow them to think. And I feel that it's important that we do that. That's why we've selected this chapter. A lot of times, we get too concerned about some of the details of the ahkam in a way where we lose sight of what's more important. I'll give you an example that I've been asked by some of the youth to mention. It's only an example, and I hope you don't cause too much or too many problems between people, community members, and I hope I'm not contradicting anyone. I'm obviously presenting my understanding of the ruling. I've seen people be so concerned about dhabiha that they miss the more important point of trust. Trusting community members is a lot more important than the dhabh. We're so concerned about that. Plenty of people, look, it's halal. The person says it's halal. Yes, maybe they're lying. Maybe this, maybe that. I've even heard sometimes say, oh, we saw the person picking up meat from a grocery store. Well, how do you know? Maybe he picked that up for his house. Maybe he's throwing a party. He's got a cart full of meat. Maybe he's throwing a party at home. You don't know if he's going to take that to a restaurant. One of the philosophies of the rulings on riba, for example, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, is because people's reputation needs to be kept. Riba is when a person has done wrong and you know it, you saw it, don't tell anyone. Because people are supposed to trust each other. Even if most of us, if you're like me, you have plenty of errors. There's a lot of mistakes we make. But we're not supposed to be going around and telling people where there's no trust. We miss out on more important teachings of the religion. And it's all in all the risalas, but for some reason, again, anyway, I don't want to discuss that ruling too much. Sometimes I overdo it on that because it really irritates me how people, so we go to a pizza place and make sure they don't cut it. If they cut it, it's haram. Really? I didn't see that. in the fatwa book. Like, no, we're sure that it touches it. You can be sure, but I'm not sure. You can avoid it, I'm going to go there, I'll tell them to cut it, and I'll have it. You can choose to do whatever you want. This is just an example. There's plenty of these examples where we're just so adamant about certain things. We miss out on bigger issues, more fundamental issues. The focus becomes different than what God is telling us. So looking at these smaller chapters of the Quran is important because they're very concise and very briefly they give you the main parts of the teaching. They focus on the most important parts in a nutshell. So the wording of it becomes very important. Now when you look at Surah Ash-Shams, it starts with something that we completely neglect in the Quran and in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. God swears by the sun and by it being coming up in the sky where you can see it, it's visible and it brings daylight. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. The moon follows it, which we could be understood in many ways in terms of it carrying the reflection of the sun for us or coming at night time. The moon is there during the day but not as a bright reflection of the sun that provides us light in the darkness of the night. So it could be taken different. The moon. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. According to some at least, the day that makes the earth where you are bright, visible, and the night that covers the earth, it veils it, the darkness. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. The heaven above our heads, just look up. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. Look at the earth, the vastness of it. وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And I swear by, all these are qasam, Allah swears by these. I swear by nafsin wa ma sawwaha, each soul, each individual, and how God has made it perfect in its creation. فَأَلْهَمَهُ. Therefore, part of that creation, the completeness of it, it being completed or perfect, the perfection of it, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The fujur and the taqwa, the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. Alhamma. God gives you this intuition. You get the general ideas, you understand them. They're in you. God swears 11 times in these verses by the various items that were mentioned. To say something, I'm going to talk about that. But before that, God is drawing our attention to some of these things that are around us and we're constantly seeing, which are His signs. The earth and everything in it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sign. The nature you see, the laws of nature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala signs. the creatures you find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs. The chemical makeup of things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs. The vastness of the earth, the way the seas are, the oceans are, water is, the formation of clouds in the sky, our attention is drawn to these things that are all around us. We're constantly seeing these things, but we're constantly missing them. We're constantly not able to see them as signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at how many times does God talk about that? For example, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, heavens and the earth. Whatever is in it, يُسَبِّحُ, think about that. The fabric beneath your feet is doing تَسْبِيحَ Allah. Your clothes are doing تَسْبِيحَ Allah. The air in this room is doing تَسْبِيحَ Allah. This mic is doing تَسْبِيحَ Allah. The speakers are doing tasbih Allah. The lights are doing tasbih Allah. The ceiling that's not falling on us is doing tasbih Allah. In other words, there are nothing but manifestations of Allah. كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه. Everything is currently gone except for the face of Allah. These are realities. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We think this is for the mushrikeen. We think this is for the kuffar. Those who don't believe, tell them, yeah, you know, this all came from God. No, it's not for the kuffar, it's for you. You think you believe? وَمَا أَمَنَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. We're all mushrik. Not because we believe in the Ahlul Bayt, that part of it is actually tawheed. Not because we do tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt, because that part of it is tawheed. Not because we ask the Ahlul Bayt directly for things, because that is part of Tawheed. Because the way we understand ourselves and the cosmos and everything around us and all people and God Himself, we say La ilaha illallah, we don't believe La ilaha illallah. How do we increase that iman? We have a bare minimum. We do believe. We say La ilaha illallah. God says do this. We're trying to do it. There is some faith, yes. The point is that these verses that talk about these things, when you read them the right way. And then when you're not reading, when you're seeing them, see them the right way. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. We will show them our signs. فِي الْآفَاقِ, in the horizons. Any direction you look is a horizon. Whatever you see is an ayah of Allah. We will show them, all of you and all of us and all people, آيَاتِنَا فِي الْأَفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ, and within. Think about your thoughts. Think about your abilities, your skills, your talents, your shortcomings, your inabilities. Think of how much of that is you, and how much of that is actually yours. Think about them, okay? realize that you have nothing of yourself. We need to realize we have nothing of ourselves. And think about these things. If we see them, those ayat, these signs, we see them, but we don't see them as signs. We see the sun like beautiful. Now, scientists have said this about it. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Nature is so beautiful. What happened to God? We go into nature, we see those beauties, we observe them. Nature is beautiful. Why have we taken this language? And those of us who haven't taken that, are we really seeing it? Even if we say, Alhamdulillah, it's beautiful, God's creation. That it? Keep saying it. Because the verse said, سَنُرِيهِمْ, we will show them these signs, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنْ, so it becomes clear to them, أَنَّهُ الْحَقْ, he is the truth. We don't think, none of us here, I don't think, maybe some of you, but I'm looking, I guess, reflecting inside, to think he is the truth. Do you understand what that means? يَتَبَيَّنْ لَهُمْ, it becomes clear to them, أَنَّهُ الْحَقْ, he is the truth. Won't get any more explicit because the verse is not any more explicit. Just think about it yourself. Has it become clear to us? God keeps repeating in the Quran, the heavens, the earth, same words. Why does God repeat that so many times in the Quran? In so many different ways. It requires us to look at it as an ayah and then ask God, because it says, سَنُرِيهِمْ, we will show them. God, please show me. I'm looking. It's an ayah of God's creation. It's not coming. God, I can't. You help me. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, think about that. It's God's doing. He's talking about His action. He's swearing by something great that you can see, and it's His, nothing but His. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, look at the beauty of the moon. You've seen it in the horizon when it's either just setting or just rising, looks huge, and then it goes up in the sky from our perspective, and then we see it smaller. Look at all of these. It goes through certain molecules. The color is one way. We see it, we observe it one way. The size of it seems one way. When it's in a different angle, we see it in a different way. Every bit of that is God's doing. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, the sun rising, you're seeing that, again, the angle of the sun, the shadow that it creates, the colors, every bit of that. Just think about what's actually happening. It doesn't hit us because we see it so many times, we see it every day. Since we were kids, before we were even thinking of these things, or we could think of these things. So we're completely negligent of it. Urafa would sometimes just, they would not, it wouldn't even be, they say, I don't know, I haven't seen these Urafa, but I've heard multiple accounts that they would just suddenly, I just remember the particular story, Abdullah Khushbakh with some of his friends when he was young, Ahoy Dulabi was one of them. They were friends that were friends for Allah. They were spiritual friends, whatever that means. They go to different teachers and just being in each other's presence encouraged them, helped them to progress further. And they would go out in the desert, away from the city, out in the desert. Here you have nature, you go in the mountains, the woods. But the desert is different. They chose the desert. They could have gone up north, but where they have the beautiful scenery, very similar, sometimes more beautiful than what you have here in the northern strip by the Caspian Sea in Iran. But they didn't go to the desert. Go to the desert together. Walk for hours. And they would take some bread with them. Once they sent, I think it was Abdulawi they sent, to get bread, and well, it would probably usually take about 30 minutes to go get the bread, stand in line, their turn, wait their turn, get the bread, come back. But it took longer and longer and longer. Like, what's happening? They went there, they caught him. He was mesmerized, just like in a trance almost. We don't understand. But what was he looking at? What caught his attention that he couldn't move? Nailed to the ground, just watching what the bakery baking bread. What's so special about that? If you're looking for God's signs, the bakery will be your sign. God will send who lead him. We will show them. You want it? Ask for it? Plead for it? Whatever sign is shown, you know, tries and looking and trying to see, and then when it's shown, you see something small. Cry, we have that. Do sujood. الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ. We have in Surah Anfal, we read a couple nights ago, a few nights ago. وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ آيَاتِهِ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. The signs of God are shown to them one after the other, whether it's the verses of the Quran that when they recite, they are being shown to you, or the ayat of Allah one after the other, they come. The iman increases. So look at these items that God mentions, his own creation, showing you the greatness and wanting you to see the greatness of that, so then he can swear by them. God swears by the sun and it rising in the horizon. We don't understand how vast and how great this earth is we're on, and the spinning of the earth around its own axis that causes the day and night. All of that is happening. And then the tilt, the different timings for day and night, the beginning, how long they are, how short they are. Think of all of that, what it actually is. God swears by that. You see the greatness, you take it seriously. God is swearing 11 times by these various things: the sun, the moon, the earth, the heaven, yourselves. Wa nafsin wa ma sawwaha. Fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. Which he tells us that every soul is given that. If God wouldn't have given every soul the ilham, the intuition of what's right and what's wrong, the fujur and the taqwa, it wouldn't have been complete. Every soul has that. Now, this isn't to cause us to go and get on to people and say, oh, you know this is wrong and you're doing it. It's for ourselves. It's for ourselves. Look within. Stop picking flaws in others. Find flaws in yourself. Why? Because the verse follows. 11 times God swears by these important items. Then he said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. You're looking for prosperity, looking for success in life. You think your university degree or your Hawza degree is going to give you that. You think money is going to give you that? You think children back in the days, if I, that's going to give it to them as individuals? Natural resources are going to give that to you. For a nation, what is it that's going to give you prosperity? They say prosperity, you know, people come here to this part of the world for prosperity. Really, does that give you prosperity? Falah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, there's one thing that gives you prosperity. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَ. Whoever does tazkiyah of the nafs, tazkiyah of the soul, they will reach prosperity. You want prosperity as individuals, as a nation, social prosperity, on all levels, tazkiyah. Tazkiyah to nafs. Is that a salawat, please?
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
What is tazkiyah? I'm sure this is a reminder for most of us, if not all. They say a tangible example is if you have, let's say, a flower. You have a rose plant, and if you want it to grow properly, you have to cut off certain parts of it. It's growing in a way where it's not going to be able to grow to the height and beauty that it could otherwise. You have to cut certain branches off in order to be able, for the plant to be able to grow further and flourish more, have more flowers. If you leave it, it's not going to flourish at least as much. It won't give you as many flowers. It's part of the plant, it's part of the crop, it's part of the tree or the bush or whatever it is. But it needs to be cut off. Get rid of it. If you get rid of it, it'll help the tree or the crop grow better. Give better flowers, fruits, or whatever it is. That's it. There are certain things within us, our souls, it comes with us. In a sense, we are born with it. When we grow, these things grow in us too. As we grow, our nafs, our desires grow as well. When you have the child, what they want is very small. The adult that grows, if they don't do tazkiyah, you give them the entire globe, say it's not enough, let's go conquer Mars. Let's go to the moon. Let's go create. It's not going to be enough. It's the same baby that would cry for certain things and try to get it. And when they get a little older, they go hit another kid to get what they like. If they find candy in the other kid's hand, they go hit them, take the candy, and have it themselves. Or, some do even worse, they accumulate it. They don't eat it, they don't give it to anybody either. It's a 5-6-year-old, and you have 60-year-olds that are doing the same thing. But instead of doing that with candy, they're doing it with the diamonds of Africa. They're doing it with the oil of the Middle East. It's the same thing. It grows. The bad traits grow in us. And with that, you're never going to get to prosperity. As individuals, you're never going to get to prosperity. And as a nation, or as greater society, as people, humanity, if you want to get to prosperity together, you got to do tazkiyah of the nafs. On a social scale, that means the tazkiyah of society. You need to get rid of certain practices At times, you need to get rid of certain individuals that decide not to change those practices. Because if you don't, then they're going to get rid of thousands of people because of their practices. Say salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wa khaba man dassaha, opposite of that. If you leave it, you won't get to what you're looking for. Now we can go on and mention, I don't feel like we need to repeat that. Maybe just one line. The very fact that at age 60 or 70, excuse me, but the idiot is still trying to work for more power and gain more, tells you they're not content. They're not satisfied. They don't feel like they have what they need. Okay. Otherwise, Trump wouldn't be behaving in the way he is. Once you feel content, you feel like you have success, you reach prosperity, then you're not worried. That only comes with tazkiyah. Because tazkiyah leads to a person becoming awliya Allah. God says, Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. There's no fear, no grief. They're not worried about the future, not worried about the past. And after these two, which initially, now I already explained it on a little bit of a social scale, political scale as well. But the Quran does that. If you look at it, probably it didn't catch your attention in that way when you're looking at قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. But if you look at what happens afterwards in these verses, it says كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. What's the relevance of قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا? You want prosperity, do tazkiyatun nafs. And if you don't, then you won't reach prosperity. Then it says كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. Thamud, because of their rebellious nature, because of how they rebelled against the taqwa that God showed them before even their prophet came. كَذَّبَتْ. They denied, they said it's a lie, this prophet is not a messenger of God. No matter what signs he brought. What's the relevance of the first part of the chapter and the second part of the chapter? God's giving you an example of how you don't reach prosperity. You don't do tazkiyah, you don't reach prosperity. The example is actually all-inclusive. The example is a social one, it's a community, it's a people, it's a nation that didn't do tazkiyah. The result of that, as the verse says, let's go through them. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. Because of their طُغْيَان, or as it says, طَغْوَى, which is rebelling against God's teachings, what they clearly recognized as wrong, they did it. That's being rebellious. They denied God's signs, and they denied the messenger of God. إِذْ إِمْبَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا. The worst of them, you don't do tazkiyah socially, even if you don't do the worst of deeds, but since you didn't do tazkiyah, you allowed for the worst of you to remain there, and then that person will go and carry out the greatest crime. The people who didn't go to Karbala, but they had Shimr go there and do this, they're all responsible. The hadith says in the ziyarat say, whoever was silent, whoever did not rise, who didn't join, was silent. It's part of that crime. They didn't commit it. They're all part of it. You don't do tazkiyah, this is what's going to happen. Imam Hussain, he this uprising was through tazkiyah. Of course, he laid the foundations for tazkiyah for centuries to come. And over time, eventually, people learning from that, remembering Imam al-Husayn, working towards it, on both of those levels. إِذِنْ بَعْثَ أَشْقَاهَا فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُقِيَاهَا. This naqa, this camel that you asked for, you said, if you're the messenger of God, show us a miracle. Bring a camel to us from out of this rock mountain, the stones of this mountain. No, apparently, there was no cave, it's not like it came out of the cave, no, right on the rock. God gave it to him. A camel walked out. God told him, the Prophet of God told him here, and this is a sign of God, and it's got its timings for the water. Nobody touch it. If you do any harm to it, then this is a serious sign. The previous one you denied I'm a messenger, I showed you other signs you didn't accept. Now this is a serious one. You don't want to mess with this sign. If you harm it, then you will be punished. And Ashqaha, the worst of them, said, you know what, we're going to go and kill it. They plotted it, they went, no, this was all lies, this is baloney. فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فعقروها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. They said, no, you're liars. I said, this is not, nothing's going to happen. It's just a camel. This was magic. This was that. You asked for it. These same people asked for it. We'll believe if it comes. When it came, they behaved in that way. فَدَمْدَمْ عَلِيمٌ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّهُ. Destroyed. Because of their sin. You want me to prosperity in this life? They were a very prosperous nation, it seemed. Materially, they did things that we can't do. These huge mountains, they carved homes out of the mountain for themselves. Huge palaces out of stone in the valleys. Things that we can't make. That doesn't give you prosperity. What gives you prosperity? Tazkiyah. You get it in this life and you get it in the hereafter. You say salawat, please?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
This is what the verses tell us. Every time you read it, try, first of all, read it. Read these chapters. And every time you do, try to remember whatever you can of it. Look at the translation. Look at the concise message. Try to make those connections yourself. You'll find even more connections between the various concepts that have been introduced in the chapter. Tazkiyah is the way forward. When you're a minority in Mecca, God, not just for the disbelievers, but for the believers as well, tells us and gives us this chapter. And of course the Quran says it's really mainly for the believers. You take this, you want prosperity, do tazkiyah. I hope I'm able to connect this chapter, this tazkiyah, to the preparation of, for the coming of the Imam of our time, and the different scales. Remember we said we're a minority here? Well, if you look globally, we're a minority altogether. And we are mustadaf. In other words, we're oppressed. The dominant nations of the world apparently the greatest one right here. They're oppressing many people. We are being oppressed more than anyone else. The Muslimin are being oppressed more than anyone else. In so many different ways. You want prosperity for Muslims and prosperity for everyone? What do? This chapter tells you. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهُ تَزْكِي. Do tazkiyah. Try to first and foremost look within yourself before you look at it on a social scale and trying to find flaws in others. Try. It tells you that you do. It doesn't say for some of you. Some of you are perfect. Don't worry about it. And then it's okay. I'm that one person. That doesn't need to. No, the verse doesn't say that. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهُ. Everybody do tazkiyah. That means you do have things that you need to get rid of. And we need to, each of us, I need to accept that. I've got problems that I need to get rid of. When I accept that I have problems that I need to get rid of, if I acknowledge that, generally, it leads to me trying to find them. I start looking for them. I start accusing myself. Everything I say, like, what if that's wrong? What if that was because of something wrong? Let me make this clear too. Tazkiyah is clearing up the spiritual illnesses. It's other than the sins that we commit or the wrong that we do. It's the source of it. It's the motivation. It's the inner part of us that makes us say or do things. If we acknowledge that we have that problem, we have problems, we start looking for. If we acknowledge that we have problems that we can't even notice, and we need to get rid of, then as we try to find them and get rid of them, we will start realizing that we need to plead to Allah to help us recognize our own flaws. Sometimes it's so difficult. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opportunities. If we're trying to find them, if we're trying to see that. You know where those opportunities are? Right here. In your family. Amongst believers. Amongst kuffar, when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with others, it's an opportunity. When you have an argument, when you have conflict of interest, that's an opportunity for you to look within and see there's something that's causing this. First and foremost, before I accuse my spouse of being the problem, I should accuse myself of being the problem. Before accusing my child of causing the issue, accuse myself. Look within. God is giving us those opportunities. I've said this before, I think, not in these sessions and other places, but I think it helps with this, understanding that these different environments that God creates for us, different environments we're in, different circumstances, financial circumstances, health circumstances, weather circumstances, different countries we're in. When you go to Hajj, it's a great opportunity that can be easily lost. The one I remembered is, because I was talking about family, let me tell you how I remember this. Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We'll start with adults. So adults in the family, when they especially have children, which we should have children, we should have many children, Children are not the ones who are expected to have tazkiyatun nafs. They're children. Who's supposed to have tazkiyatun nafs? We are, adults are. We think as adults, we, the untrained nafs, is supposed to be training the children. I feel like I am the one who's going to teach this child what to say, what not to do, and so on and so forth. I am the one who's responsible to guide this child. And God has given me that responsibility. Which we do have a responsibility as parents to do that, but I want to draw our attention to something a little different, the reverse of that. God has provided the children to us to help us train us, help them be the cause of training us as adults. Where do we get this from? Prophet Musa. Prophet Musa, according to the Quran, had to be a shepherd for what, 8 to 10 years, right? Why did he have to be a shepherd for 8 to 10 years? The sheep were the means through which this man was trained by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sheep. The flock of sheep is what God trains Musa through. We automatically think the child has done something wrong. We get angry, the child is at fault. Whereas it's an opportunity to look within, why are you angry? Why do you expect that child to behave in a certain way? These are just examples that I'm throwing out. These various contexts that we're in, the family, the workplace, the community, community center, different works or activities we're involved in, these are all opportunities. Opportunities. God makes us realize if we open our eyes. Anywhere we see something unpleasant, look within. Don't look at the other person. Do that tazkiyah. The path to tazkiyah is taqwa. Doing the wajibat and staying away from haram. But the reason why this chapter doesn't say taqwa, it gets to the effect of taqwa, which you should be looking for. And if you're not seeing, and we should note that, we should be able to see that in ourselves. If we don't see the results, that means there's something lacking. There is a problem. If I'm still not able to control my temper, if I'm still not able to control my shahwa for whatever, for money, or whatever else it is. If I can't control my eyes, that means the taqwa hasn't worked. I need to continue. There's something wrong. Tazkiyatun nafs. And then tazkiyah of society, which that's not my focus. We mentioned that, and it is important, but the focus here is tazkiyah of the nafs, brothers and sisters. We can't be awaiting the coming of our imam without taking care of our nafs. If we don't take care of our nafs, it will reveal itself. It will come at some point. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us in being able to work or look within and use God's teachings, look for God's teachings. This will be the last point on that. Another area that we are lacking when it comes to tazkiyah of the nafs. We don't look for guidance the way someone who's in need looks for guidance. Because we don't feel that need. We don't feel like we need help in knowing what to do and what not to do. And again, going back to the point we mentioned, if we look within, if we see what the verse is, we need to do tazkiyah, which is telling us there are things that need to be removed. That means we need to acknowledge we have those problems that we need to get rid of, and we need to know how to get rid of them. So we would be begging the sources of Islam through whatever means we have to figure out how we're going to do this. What we need to do. What should I avoid? How should I treat my spouse? Every little thing we say, every little thing. The Quran says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Every little thing happens. It's not like most of what we do is just nothing. It doesn't have any effect. Then there's a little bit of what we do which is good. We're going to be rewarded. And a little bit of what we do is going to be... No. Every little thing we do is going to have an impact. Every little thing, the way we speak, the tone of it, what we say to our spouse, to our children, to our friends, to believers, about ulama, about political issues, listening to the media, not listening to the media, which media outlet. I'm throwing out all these different examples because all of those will have an impact on tazkiyatun nafs. Before even getting to the social tazkiyatun nafs. What media you watch will affect your tazkiyatun nafs. If you watch movies, you don't watch movies, what music, every little thing. And don't think we know, okay, yeah, we shouldn't watch movies and that's it. No, who said that? Where did we get that from? We assume things. It's a big problem. We assume it's so simple, we don't need to go to the sources. We don't need to go to the experts for it. We just figure it out ourselves. If we realize we're in need of it, in dire need, we become like Ayatollah Ansari, Ansari Hamadani, Allah bless his soul, this great man, who was a mujtahid in his mid-20s, all the studies he had done for I don't know how many years to get to that ijtihad. He read, apparently, a letter from one of the warafa. Just reading that letter caused him to realize where he can be, what the love of God is. Just reading it and knowing that he doesn't have it, he felt so strongly, he left home, he left everything. He would go in the deserts crying and spending days for worship, fasting, prayer, day and night, begging Allah, please guide me, show me. He's a mujtahid. He has access to all the ahadith and verses. But understanding it to where he can do that level of tazkiyah, we don't feel the need. We don't feel the need. We ask Allah, by the right of Imam al-Husayn, by the right of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, that he helps us, he wakes us up so that we feel the need. We give it importance and we start focusing on it. We learn where our problems are and where our solutions are, inshallah. Sallallahu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. Sallallahu alayhi ya يا مظلوم الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا روحي لك الفداء يا مولانا روحي فداء May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Beloved Imam al-Hussein. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Beloved, oppressed Imam. The Imam that was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates. Tonight we want to remember the flag bearer of Karbala, Qamar Bani Hashim. فضل العباس سلام الله عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين Before we begin, I want to make a request. There's an account that Ibn Mahziyar, who went according to the account 18 times to Hajj to see the Imam of our time. When he finally received the invitation, he was told, go to the tent that you hear the masa'ib of our uncle Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. If that's true, perhaps the Imam of our time visits this majlis as well. Sought to
security in. Perhaps it is for that reason that Imam al-Husayn did not allow Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas to go to the battlefield before all the others went. He was the last standing with Imam al-Husayn. He also, like Imam al-Husayn, watched every one of the companions going to the battlefield, shedding their blood for the Imam. He watched Banu Hashim as well. He watched Ali and Al-Akbar. He watched his other brothers. He told them, I want to see you give your lives for your Imam before I give my life. You can imagine how the children security when Abbas is around. Other than Imam al-Husayn, who's the main figure, Abbas being around. But according to the account that we will recite, it seems like Imam al-Husayn, in a sense, relied on Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas as well. How can we describe what happened to Abbas? Ya Allah, help me. There are different accounts. I guess different people saw it from different angles. Abbas was told that water is needed in the tents. Perhaps they had seen the children, their cries that they tried to hide, them going and rubbing their bellies on the cool sand to try saw the need. Abbas was sent for the Sharia to bring water. The account that is usually mentioned is that Abbas went fighting towards the Sharia. Obviously, the enemy does not want Abbas to have any water. He's already too difficult to deal with. If he has any water, if Hussein gets water, he's going to fight even harder. Also, they had orders not to allow Hussein to have water. Abbas fights, he moves towards the Sharia. They can't hold on to their posts, they can't stop him. They make a plan that let's allow him to go to the Sharia. We'll ambush him on the way out. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, Ruhi Fida, enters the Sharia. Imagine a man who has not had water all day, has been fighting and fighting and dealing with the heat. Now he's entered the Sharia. Probably his feet are touching the cool water, making him even want more water more. He puts the water skin in the water. Probably his hands feel the cool, and he even wants water more. He feels the thirst and picks some water up, brings it. sat close to his face, according to the account. On the way they ambushed him, surrounded him. He's fighting with hope to get the water. He's fighting with his right arm, obviously. Eventually a mal'oon from behind him strikes. Wallahi inqata'tu yamini. This is when my الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك اسمك العظيم الأعظم الزهراء وأهلها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبت أوليائك والله hasten the return of our Imam. Help us become his true and close companions. Allah protect those who are helping the cause of Islam. Especially our ulama and maraja, especially our leader. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins. Forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who left this world, those who are alive. Ya Allah, grant us all our hajat, our needs, our requests. Cure all the ills amongst us. Help all those from amongst us who are suffering from hardships and difficulties, especially in areas suffering from atrocities in Yemen, in Bahrain, believers are suffering, in Myanmar they are, in Palestine, in parts of Syria, in parts of Iraq perhaps, and wherever else, Ya Allah, by the rights of the Imam of our time, relieve all the people of the world, the oppressions they are facing. Nabi wa alihi rahimallahu an qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.
Allahumma